Hello, and welcome to another Hamburglar Helper episode of We Only Look Thin. I am Catherine Weigel. I am one of your helpful hosts. I have lost about 120 pounds and kept it off for over 6 years. I'm a Tiny Habits Certified Coach, a Thrive Global Certified Coach.
Man.
And here is my good helper with me today.
Donald Weigel. I'm a very good helper, and I have lost about 100 pounds. I am one of the hosts of this show. I've kept it off for about 6 years, and I have benefited from all of the knowledge of my wife and co-host, Catherine Weigel, and I have tried to be a good helper throughout all of this, and we are here to talk about some stuff.
Yeah, and you know, I wonder sometimes if the Hamburglar wouldn't have gone to a life of crime if he had had, like, it starts with your education, right? Like, maybe he didn't have the resources. Maybe he, like, I don't know what took him from a little, like, baby hamburger slider into a burglar of, like, but he was, he wasn't a hamburger. That was Mayor McCheese.
Yeah.
He was just a thief.
No, he stole, he stole other people's hamburgers.
Oh, okay, okay.
So yeah, he did live a life of crime, although I never thought about it that way before.
Yeah, but it, like,
it all seemed like good, clean fun when I was a kid, but now, when you think about it, like, stealing other people's hamburgers is pretty egregious.
It is, but it also, again, it starts with your environment. What is his backstory? Where were his roots?
Why have we never had a, like, Lifetime movie about
the
Hamburglar's background and what led him to his life of crime? And then there could be a redemption arc at the end where he ends up, like, making hamburgers for people in need or something.
Yeah, or maybe he works in a school cafeteria. Remember? Nothing better than cafeteria food.
Oh my goodness.
When I was in the 80s as a kid.
Holy cow.
Hamburger day, square pizza day.
Would look forward to Pizza Friday. And like if you didn't like whatever they were serving, you could, like, hamburger was an option like every day.
Oh, that's good.
At my school.
Man, square pizza. It's a great shape. I know we're not reinventing the square pizza wheel.
I've probably told this story before.
Oh boy,
but
I know.
Like it's,
I think you're gonna.
I feel like it's relevant. Okay. I used to on pizza day, I would go up and down tables and ask people for their crust because I just wanted to eat all the food. Like, this was at a very young age. Like, I would. You know, anybody who didn't want to eat their crust, I would take it and I would eat it and I would be happy about it.
I still do that with our teen. I have to, one of my Canary in a Coal Mine episode, We Only Look Thin, was sort of like the telltale signs that things aren't going well. Me eating our daughter's food scraps, whether it be crust of bread or crust of pizza, is never a good sign that, that I'm really living my best life. So,
that sounded a little like a
10 commandment.
The crust of bread or crust of pizza.
Oh, my gosh.
Thou shalt not
or pie
eat.
Yeah. Or bread.
Exactly.
But, yeah, I definitely still have issues with the crusts of life. But like, things...
The crusts of life.
I don't know. But going back to those salad days, though, I didn't really eat salad in elementary school.
No, there wasn't much salad going on back then.
The series that we're doing right now, we haven't really talked about it, but we're doing Habit Elementary, and we are on elementary number 4.
We haven't talked about it except that we've done 3-hour-long episodes
I dove right into Life of Crime with the Hamburglar.
Yeah, this is part 4 of Habit Elementary, and this is the idea of this series is it's sort of based around the idea of Maslow's hierarchy of needs. We talked a lot more about that in previous episodes, but essentially you have to fulfill your basic needs before you can move on. And we have taken that and turned it into something about weight loss and fitness because everything is about losing weight. Everything's about food. And that also that's what we do is what Catherine was about to say before I so rudely cut her off.
No, I think I rudely interrupted you. Or maybe we could turn that around. How could we reframe that?
We luckily added something to the conversation for each other.
This is just a conversation. Just fireside chat, y'all.
Exactly. And so this is kind of a series based on sort of the building blocks of getting to your goal, getting to your weight loss and fitness goal, and maintaining it. And, you know, the early episodes, we talked about the very beginning where you're sort of overwhelmed, you can't get started, then we moved up to, you know, building more routine in your life. Last week, we talked about sort of the rubber really hitting the road where you're really getting into your calorie tracking, your purposeful movement, adjusting your mindset. And this week, we are going to talk about leveling up. This is where we really start refining and leveling up our habits, like we're in Super Mario Brothers or something, and working on our identity. This is where we start digging into why we've spent our lives with poor eating habits. Like something that I feel like no one talked about for most of my life. Everybody was just sort of like, you need to go to the gym, you need to eat less, or you need to get on this diet.
Just do it.
Just do it. And we've realized that figuring out the why behind a lot of this has really been the actual key to hitting a goal weight and staying there.
Right. So if you look back at our first episode, Habit Elementary number one, that's like first grade, learning your ABCs. Second grade, you're making some sentences. Third grade, maybe you're doing, like, you learned that there's a sun and it revolves around stuff, or you revolve around it. I can't remember. It was a long time ago. But like by fourth grade, like this is the part where you're like almost like at fifth grade. You're like, I'm getting close to my goal. I'm going to be like king and queen of the school in fifth grade. I'm almost there. I can taste it. But you're getting into your identity as an actual person. Not
you're
somebody.
Basically, when you're in like in fourth grade, fifth grade, you're basically like starting to pick out
your
cap and gown for high school graduation.
This is where you have to determine the rest
of
your
life.
If you
don't start visiting colleges at this age, you're already behind everyone.
Yeah, what do you want to be when you grow up? Not bothered by grown-ups is what I want to be.
Yeah, that was all I wanted, exactly.
But at this point, we're really building our identities, not just as people who show up, but people who really embrace the process. And that is going to start with, again, we've done this before, but we break this into mindset, thinking about the scale, food, and then movement. So this is elevated. You've got the basics down. You know
how to
track.
That is basically the whole ball of wax, those four categories.
But this actually, I feel like my fourth grade of losing weight on this last time journey.
Now is the fourth grade of your discontent.
It is. Oh, nice job. But like, when I started, it was like January, and I was just focusing on one week at a time, just get through this, just get by. But by the time I was like comfortable in tracking, I had been losing some weight. Like I actually thought 6 months into it, 7 months into it, I was like, I know what I'm doing. Like, this is fine. Like, if I just keep doing this, I'm going to lose the weight. And then it didn't occur to me until I joined a weight loss support group that I had decades of really bad relationship habits, poor boundaries, and the reasons behind why I ate so poorly for so long. That's where the real change came in. That's when I started focusing on my identity. Who do I want to be? What reactions do I want to have to the life that I have around me? Not just in a vacuum of like, oh, I'm just losing weight, I'll just lose the weight. But the why I always regained, that really stuck with me. And really looking at my identity and who I was evolving into becoming really hit at kind of the 6 month mark of losing weight. So like in terms of mindset, thinking about, this is not a paint by number. I'm not following the specific plan. I am a person who really wants to expand my horizons.
Yeah, and this is huge, by the way. This is, you know, this is one of the real, you know, keys to success in the weight loss and fitness area is realizing this. So sorry, dear, please continue.
You're good. So I appreciate your passion that you bring to everything. But it's this isn't just, I'm going to lose the weight and then I'm done. What kind of a person do I want to be? Where does happiness really come from? I realized it didn't occur to me early in the process that I had really big issues with emotional eating and stress and secret eating and like really poor boundaries with people in my life. I sort of was the like people pleaser, and I didn't realize that all of that had an effect on why I ate. Now, do not get me wrong. Make no mistake. Food is also super delicious.
Yeah, that's part of the problem.
It was also our number one fun.
Can't we work on making food less delicious?
I know.
As a society.
But like food was our number one fun. And realizing that like, oh, if this is going to be a permanent lifestyle change, like food is going to be part of that. But I am going to work on my boundaries, managing my stress, managing the why behind why I overate and used food to self-soothe for so long. So at this point, this is where you really start working on, again, not just the calorie deficit, but really working on who you see yourself becoming. What kind of person successfully loses 100 pounds? What habits do they have in place? How do they deal with stress? How do they deal with setbacks? That's where the real permanent change comes from. It's not just the doing and the achieving the end goal. It's working on the person you are becoming.
Yeah, and I think that just to kind of put a bow on the mindset section of this, realizing that how much I was lying to myself and how much I was sabotaging myself was such a huge part of this. And I think it's something that, you know, you go to a lot of weight loss and fitness professionals and they just want you to go through the motions with the food and with the exercise, and they don't start digging into the reasons behind it. And I think that it's really hard to have success in the long term if you don't get into all of the mindset parts of this.
Well, and that's it. That's the big thing, is like, just do what I tell you to do and you'll lose 20 pounds in 10 weeks. Great. But that is not taking responsibility for your life. This isn't a prescription. This is something that you're developing on your own. So it is super like freeing to stop blaming the world for your circumstance.
Yeah.
And actually owning your choices. And the first thing that, it's the second thing. We were just talking about mindset, but now we're going to talk about taking control of the scale.
Yeah. So when it comes to the scale, you're probably making some steady progress at this point if you're doing all of the habits, but you may run into some self-doubt or imposter syndrome.
That was big for me.
It's huge. And, you know, I kept thinking to myself, well, I've lost weight before. This isn't going to last. I'm going to mess it up. And I kept, you know, telling myself these things. But it turns out that if you continue with the habits,
oh my gosh,
the weight follows.
Well, and that's huge. There's so many people, and I did this too, of like, I've never been below 200. Like, what happens at 199? That's when I sabotage myself.
Right.
Like, oh, well, just keep doing the thing that you were doing. Well, what if it doesn't work? Well, just keep doing and adapting. And like the habits create the result. And pushing past those limiting beliefs about what is possible is so huge. Don't be limited by like just that fear. Well, keep doing the thing that you're doing and that's the result you'll get. So
yeah, absolutely. And we're going to talk more about this in the next episode, but this is part of staying at a fitness goal when you get there too, is remembering you've got to keep doing these things. I used to get to a certain weight and think I was fixed and then stop doing all of the things I did. And guess what? The weight came back, and it seems so obvious in hindsight, but I used to just think, well, you know, you've gotten to a particular weight, you must be fixed now that you can eat like everybody else
eats. My metabolism's perfect.
Exactly. So at this point, another thing you want to do is use the scale as a tool. And remember that if it stops moving, because it's going to stop moving at some point, like there comes a point where you're doing the same things, But you get to a certain point where you need to change them up in order to keep the scale moving in the direction that you want, because it's just an unfortunate fact of science and physics. Like, when you get to a smaller weight, you need to take in fewer calories in order to burn more weight, or you need to burn more calories somehow. So if the scale stops moving, use it as a tool to remind you to change things up. You need to do something differently. And now, this isn't like if it's 1 week, it doesn't stop moving. But if you really get stuck 3-4 weeks in a row, then you know it's time to make a change.
Right. And panicking when the scale doesn't move for a week doesn't mean like, oh my gosh, like nothing's working, it's over. We hit plateaus. We hit times where maybe we gain a little bit, but then we lose. Like, it takes time. But Donald had sort of a policy of, if the scale didn't move for 3 weeks, that's when he knew it was time to switch something up. Yeah. Is it changing the food he's eating? Is it changing the calorie deficit he's aiming toward? So it's really, it's not about panic. It's about the long term.
Absolutely. All right. So moving on to the food section of this week's episode.
Yep. So this is really where we sort of break down, you know, and really you can do this at any time, but this is where we really embrace changing up our mindset about how we see food. There are no good foods or bad foods.
Yeah.
Now, there are nutritious foods and there are really delicious foods. And sometimes they're the same thing and sometimes they're different. There are some foods that help us toward our goal and foods that we know sabotage us. Like, yeah. Sleeves of Girl Scout cookies might not be a great way to spend your calories, but they're not inherently virtuous or terrible.
And this is where you stop saying things to yourself like, oh, I've been so bad lately, or yeah, I've been so good lately. Like, there is no moral judgment about eating food. You're just a person eating food. There isn't, like, you know, there aren't foods like made by evil and foods made by good. Like, that isn't how it works. There's just foods that are more calorie dense than others and foods that are more nutrient dense than others. And it's not about good or bad.
Right. And it's also not about, like, it is virtuous if it's organic and it's garbage if I buy pre-bagged lettuce. It is not more virtuous if you buy, you know, fresh food and make wholesome fresh food all the time, or if you buy frozen. It doesn't mean you're a good weight loss person or a bad weight loss person.
Yeah, for sure.
And another thing, and this is hearkening back to the very beginning of this episode, is there are no cheat meals. There are no cheat days. We are not the Hamburglar.
Yeah, like the Hamburglar, or maybe Yogi Bear might steal a picnic basket and that might be a cheat meal, but like there is no cheat meal. There are meals that might be a little more indulgent than others, but stop calling them cheat meals.
Right, because whether we track the calories or not, our body knows the impact that they have on us. So if you decide to not track for a weekend, if you decide to go over your calorie budget for the weekend, not thinking about it as cheating, like, oh, I'm cheating on my spouse, I'm cheating on my taxes.
Hey, wait, what?
One is cheating on the other. But it's not like, you're not a villain. You're not sneaking around. You're not, like, you know, thieving and, you know, or going to jail for anything. We are making choices. Sometimes we eat more indulgent food. Sometimes we eat empty calories, again, that are not filling, that are not satisfying, but they taste really good. And that's okay. But letting go of, like, oh, it's the cheat day, like, it's,
yeah,
that's kind of, it's a limiting belief.
Well, because that sort of mindset really leads you to beat yourself up about, yeah, things. And, you know, you just don't need that kind of self-abuse in your life. And, you know, you wouldn't let somebody else talk to somebody you love that way. So stop talking to yourself that way. And it really does help in terms of achieving your goals and really believing in yourself.
Well, and two, we grew up with all of these punitive ideas about food. That's bad for you. Like, oh, I thought you were on a diet. How could you be eating ice cream? Like, when people place judgment about what it means, we feel embarrassment. And guess what? That leads to secret eating, because we don't want anyone to see us eating foods we enjoy, because obviously they're going to pass judgment on what it means about us. So really watch out for that and call it out. And this is actually what I started doing. I would call out people who were judging my food. Like, you are not Goldilocks. You are not the arbiter of good or bad.
Yeah, there's nobody is the food police. Nobody gets to tell you what you like should or shouldn't be eating.
Yeah, and that's advocating for yourself. Also, this is the part where, and you know, this can be challenging for some, but thinking about abstaining versus moderating, there might be foods that you abstain from at home, knowing that having them in your house is difficult for you, but maybe you just have them in public. We've done lots of episodes about planning certain foods for certain situations. For example, I abstain from alcohol during the week, but on weekends, I'll enjoy a cocktail. And that's a way that I've been able to moderate it. So I have it at certain times. Like I said, we've done lots of episodes on how to work foods into your plan, but that can change over time too. Maybe at one point you're much more focused on overeating sweets, so you pull back on that. But another time it could be more savory things that you're enjoying. So really knowing that there isn't one right way that we can adapt our ideas about what foods work for us at certain times really does matter. And one thing to look at too on that is the calorie trade-offs. Is there a lower calorie version of a food that is worth the trade-off in taste? I know for Donald, like if you're used to full fat ice cream, which I was used to 1500 calories or so of full fat ice cream.
Right.
I realized I could switch over to Halo Top and get that same satisfaction. And it was worth giving up those calories for something that tasted good enough in the process. Also, going from getting, you know, and trying to dole out a giant piece of pizza, you know, sharing a pizza, you know what? Getting a Stouffer's pizza is really good. And it tastes a lot like it tastes good enough to be a solid replacement. I know Donald does that with like looking at cottage cheese, which will like, it's good enough. It's not worth it.
This is what we're really talking about leveling up at this point. And this is the point where you ask yourself, you know, is the like low fat cottage cheese or the non-fat cottage cheese like as good as the full fat? Maybe you don't like cottage cheese at all, but just using that as an example. And really deciding like, you know what, the full fat is actually worth it to me. Like it's worth those extra calories because my level of enjoyment goes up that high. Or maybe it's the other way around where you're just like, oh, you know what, it's not really that much of a difference. Like I'll save the calories and move on. And it's looking at the things that you eat and thinking about that for most of the things that you eat and figuring out like where you're willing to make that trade-off and where you're not.
Well, and also we did an episode called, I think it was I Would Do Anything for Walt, But I Won't Do That, where it was an episode about really making those active choices about places you won't compromise. So for me, I will not compromise on half and half. I love the taste of half and half. It is worth the 70 to 80 calories a day. I don't like the non-fat version. And knowing that you can make those decisions and priorities for yourself really helps you like feel like you're in control of the process.
And this is also the point where you really work on, I personally think that it is really important to work your favorite foods into your life. And that, you know, because a lot of people, when they go, you know, on a diet or they go on a plan, they think that they can't enjoy their favorite foods anymore. And that leads to sadness. And then that leads to like going the other direction and potentially binge eating because you're, you know, you miss your favorite foods. And so you start eating them and you get out of control. But working your favorite foods in, whether that's having, you know, much smaller portions of it, to use the Hamburglar, the Happy Meal version of something instead of the you know, the Big Mac, or it's about frequency. You pick a time like, well, once a month I'm going to have this because I really enjoy it. Or like every time I get my oil changed on my car, then that's the day I'm going to enjoy this. You figure out a frequency that works for you so that you can still work in your favorite things. And using Catherine's example from earlier, you know, you can work in different versions of things. Like, you know, I buy these 300 calorie pizza burritos, or Catherine mentioned the Stouffer's pizza bread. And you have that instead of getting like the full, like we used to each order our own like full pizzas, medium or large pizzas, and then eat the whole thing.
And then we would get our individual pints of Ben and Jerry's that we would also eat in totality.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Why was I 300 pounds?
Yeah. And this is also the point where you start looking at foods that you cook or foods that you, you know, you heat and eat. And you,
doctor, you doctor what you're having to make it work for you.
Yeah. So you change from a full fat ingredient to a lower fat ingredient so that it fits into your plan better. Or you add something to it by pumping up the volume.
Pump up the volume of your favorite foods. And this gets into the smaller portion. I want to have spaghetti. If you make me eat spaghetti squash, I will fight you and call the police. But I could still have. I do not like spaghetti squash. I just can't. Like, I know people are like, oh, it tastes like spaghetti. What you could do is maybe a 50-50 split. You could pump up the volume of your favorite food with a high, a low calorie, high volume vegetable that will add volume, but you still get the full taste. You're not going to the sadness version. Again, prioritizing having that portion, but then making it go a little bit farther. For example, there's a delicious curry, like a chicken tikka masala at Trader Joe's.
Yeah, it's a frozen meal.
It's really good. It's like 380 calories, but I can pump up the volume by adding cauliflower to that, and it's twice the volume and still has all the delicious taste, and it doesn't taste like sadness.
Yeah, and my favorite tricks include, well, adding cauliflower to things is a good one. You know, adding very low calorie items, like I make sort of large batches of sauteed mushrooms and onions. I add those, add tomatoes, eat a lot of fruit, add pickles, pickled onions, roasted red peppers that you can buy already done in a jar that are done without oil, that are super low calorie. Like adding all of those things to my food, it increases my enjoyment of the food. And also I'm eating a lot more food for very few calories.
Yeah.
And then, you know, one point to make is, you know, think about the higher volume, lower calorie foods, like 500 calories of rice, chicken, and veggies looks very different than 500 calories of oil.
Yeah.
And keep that in mind.
Well, and I think paying attention to like the bang for your buck, it's almost like, you know, thinking about money, having $500 to spend. Do you buy a bunch of like $501 things, or do you buy a high impact $500 item? For me, looking at, you know, two Oreos versus the volume, and again, we're not placing a value judgment on it, but having a pint of Halo Top for the same number of calories as two Oreos, for me, I get greater, like, a long-term benefit of, wow, I can eat this Halo Top for 20 minutes, or I could finish the Oreo, you know, in 10 seconds and then just want more because, you know, it was gone so quickly. So for me, making those judgments about what I can get the most bang for my buck calorically really does make a difference.
Yeah, I make those sorts of trade-offs all the time.
It makes it fun.
Super fun. Where I still get paralyzed, though, is with gift cards. I have that debate with myself all the time. I get like a decent sized gift card for a birthday or Christmas or something, and then I can't decide if I want like a bunch of like small dollar items or like one big item. And I end up like the gift card.
Very stressful.
I still have gift cards from Christmas like sitting unused because I haven't been able to decide what to buy with them. So another point to make here with food is that you want to plan and then plan. And then another thing to do is also plan some more.
So what happens when you don't plan, Donald? Don't you have something to say about that?
Yeah, when you fail to plan, then you don't have a plan.
Oh, no. Yeah. What a surprise.
Of course, the old expression is then you plan to fail. But I think it's funnier to say what I say. But so really think ahead And, you know, don't do the thing that I used to do all the time, which was I would not plan ahead. And then suddenly I'd find myself, oh, my goodness, I'm in a situation where I have no choice but to order fast food. I have no choice but to eat the cake that's in front of me. Like, I have no choice but to, you know, to stop and get whatever like high calorie thing that I actually wanted because I just didn't plan ahead.
Well, and part of that, I mean, we've done episodes about being like surprised every single week that you're hungry going to the grocery store.
Right.
You know, like, oh my gosh, it never occurred to me that Taco Tuesday is every single Tuesday every of the whole Tuesday, year. Yeah. We have the opportunity to set ourselves up for success by looking ahead at what is happening in our lives and adjusting and adapting to that. One of the things that we really talk about too for those unplanned, like, oops, I didn't know that this was happening, is planning for what you'll do after a setback, what right. you'll do after vacation, yeah, what you'll huge. Do when you are sick. We are all going to have stumbling blocks. And the more like backup plans that we have, those lucky meals, those ways that we can set ourselves up for success, the better we are. And it's not about being a victim of circumstance. It's about going, oh, great, I know what to do in this situation. Because guess what? I am almost 50 years old. It is not a surprise that things happen in life.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. And you know, being prepared by having, you know, have something on hand in most situations that is super easy for those moments when you're just too tired to follow through with your plan A. Have a plan B, have a plan C.
Well, and that's big for me too, because there are times when I have the idea of making a great dinner and then I'm flippadoodling exhausted by the time dinner comes around. But what good luck, we've got frozen pizza and I can always use that as a backup. It is not for emergencies. It is just normal life to have another option. If I can't do X, then I can do Y. That is good luck for me.
Absolutely.
So the final part of, or one of the final parts.
One of the final.
I should never say final.
One of many final parts.
The penultimate final part.
Exactly.
Is being a detective of yourself. Seeing all of this as a scientific, detectivating experience.
Detectivating?
I don't know. Look, language changes, man.
yeah. I've had to come to terms with that lately.
Riz was actually added to the Oxford Dictionary.
I don't even know what that is.
Having Riz? Like, oh gosh, now I can't even remember what it means.
No, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, the word
about.
Of the year was Riz, which was charisma. That's what it is. It's like, oh man, he's got Riz, or you've got Riz, or putting on the Riz.
Well, I just have it. I don't need to know what it is.
I know. You're so Riz, you don't even know your Riz. Exactly. But detectivating.
I can't.
I'm sorry. Okay, I won't. But really, this is all an opportunity, not just to set out a plan, but being like curious about how things make you feel. Are you eating foods you actually like, or are you just eating diet foods?
Yeah.
Are you eating foods that make you feel snacky? Oh gosh, I realize that, like, sure, calorically, this is only 100 calories. But guess what? I want to eat five of them, which is suddenly 500 calories.
Yeah.
That's me and 100 calorie popcorn bags.
That's me and salted peanuts.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
But guess what? Unsalted peanuts are kind of boring and they're fine. So it's actually better for me to have unsalted peanuts in my glove box than salted. Fun fact.
That was what I was saying.
Okay. So, are you eating enough protein? That is a very good question. Are you drinking too many calories? Oh gosh, you know what? I'm drinking 3 Coca-Colas a day. Not satisfying. Guess what? I could cut those out and it wouldn't change that much of my life. I could go to Coke Zero, which is actually what you're drinking.
Or a 300 or 400 calorie like fancy coffee drink from Starbucks or something is another good example of that.
Yeah. So what is happening to you emotionally when you snack? For me, I didn't even realize that the discomfort of big emotions just led me to eat about it because it's a little dopamine hit, tastes good. But guess what? I don't even notice I'm eating it and then I'm still hungry. That is not great. We've done episodes on emotional eating, secret eating. So just, you know, pay attention to that. And then does, and this is a big one for Donald too, does the order of the foods make a difference?
Yeah.
I know for me, sure, like donuts are considered breakfast food. Cereal is considered breakfast food. But guess what? All they make me want to do is eat more.
If I eat something that like high sugar, highly palatable early in the day, it becomes very hard for me to not keep eating that kind of thing throughout the day.
Right. So for me, I see cereal as dessert. Cereal is dessert for me. Catherine, that's not what Big Kellogg says. Like, you don't want to make Tony the Tiger mad.
Oh, boy. You've done it now.
I have. I'm taking him to task. But it really is like, oh, what good luck. I'm better if I have this at night instead of in the morning. We can like load up on protein in the morning and know that it serves us better throughout the day. And also then, does the time of day make a difference? For me, again, I save the hyper palatable snacky stuff for late in the day, because when I start with it, I just know that it's going to make me more snacky. Is that a word?
Absolutely.
It's going to make me more snacky.
It's as much of a word as detectivating is, for sure.
So pay attention and see how you can switch things around to keep them in your life, and but in a responsible and reasonable way. This is where you advocate for yourself.
Well, and here's really the point of being a detective of yourself is – use the information that you've discovered and be ready to pivot. We've talked about the various P words that we've used in developing a plan, portion, and pivot is a crucial one. So if you discover that if you eat some sort of like favorite food early in the day, but it leads you to like way overindulge, then maybe try pivoting and changing to eating that later in the day. I tend to save my sort of desserty snacky foods for very late in the day when I'm very close to bed, and that seems to work best for me. I'm able to work those things in and I continue to do them, but when I try to eat them earlier in the day, I realized that I was going way over my calories and I had to pivot and come up with a different plan. Keep trying things until you find a system that actually works for you. And be prepared for, after a period of time, to have to pivot again. You might find that something that's worked for you for months and months suddenly isn't working for you now, and you've got to try and pivot some more.
Exactly.
Okay, so let's move into the final section of the episode for this episode, and that is movement. This is where you want to level up your exercise. You're doing whatever you're doing. Maybe, though, now there's been something that you've wanted to try and you decide that you're going to actually try it. Maybe you've thought, well, I really want to become more flexible, so I should try some yoga. Maybe, you know, I'm doing all of this aerobic activity, but maybe I need to increase some strength training. Give something a try. Maybe you're just bored at this point,
yeah.
or you've gotten bored with a particular activity, so you need to audition new activities. Try and get out of your comfort zone a little bit. You know, we fairly recently, we've been kind of doing the same, walking, rebounding, the same exercise videos on YouTube. Catherine found this couple named Juice and Toya, who have a YouTube channel, and they did some, you know, we tried a couple of their strength training videos, and at first I really struggled with it. I felt like I didn't know like the moves. I felt like they were foreign to me. They were doing things with dumbbells that really like made my legs sore, but
and discomfortable. And would you say discomfortable?
Yes, I would say discomfortable. So I had to detectivate and figure out.
Oh my gosh!
I was so discomfortable that I had to detectivate.
Oh my gosh! Okay, now
I maintained my riz through all of it.
When you say the words that I say at me, I see that it is not great. So thank you for this learning opportunity for me.
You're welcome. I'm glad that
this is a learning.
I'm glad that I could hold up a mirror to your activities and benefit from them. But so anyway, the point here is that I stuck with it, and I did, you know, this one particular video, we did it 3-4 times, and by like the fourth time, I actually felt really good about it, and I felt like I was getting it, and, you know, by the 6th, 7th, 8th time, I felt like I was improving my strength in these various parts, and it was really sort of eye-opening that I had all of these muscle groups that I wasn't working at all, and realized how much work I did need on them, even though I felt like I was, you know, doing a lot of exercise. So really sort of pushing through those things can be important.
Yeah, it can make it more dynamic. I know there are certain moves that we did in the video where I was like, I didn't know that there was a muscle there. Here I was thinking right. I was super great, but it was difficult. And part of that, too, is like when I started doing the workout videos, I was using the very lightest weights possible.
Oh, yeah.
And after even just like a week of doing it, I was already leveling up and feeling stronger. And it felt really good to like, oh, okay, like this is actual progress. So it was great. New adventure for us.
Yeah. And look, maybe this is the time where you really think about whether you're a group exercise person or a solo exercise yeah. person. And maybe if you think you're one of those, maybe you try the other one really to see if, you know, how that goes for you. Maybe you'll surprise yourself. And maybe you're at a point where you want to decide to train for something. Maybe you want to like try to do that 5K or that charity walk or something like that. And, you know, it's something that you've always thought about doing. This is the time to really start doing it.
Well, and two, in terms of like looking at the maintenance lifestyle, once the scale starts slowing down, maybe you're nearing your exit. It's really amazing to have other aspirations. Sure, the weight, no, you know, the number on the scale is important. But like Donald said, hey, you know what? I've never been able to do a toe push-up before. I've never been able to do a pull-up. Gosh, I've always wanted to do, like you said, a 5K challenge. Thinking about practical things that you can add as goals for yourself really enhances your experience. And really thinking about that, like there was a time at which I was like, I never want to go to the gym again. I love working out at home. Now that I work at home, I don't see human people very much in my life. Like that's not a thing.
Right.
And I have started, I joined a gym a year ago, and it's been a really lovely way to inspire myself and try new things. So in the times that we said, like, I'll never X, it's always in that season. Right now, this isn't working for me. But now, what if I reinvestigate things that I used to do? Like, and it's actually been great for me. Donald hasn't joined the gym, but maybe he will. Let's never say never.
Maybe he won't. Or maybe he will. I don't know.
But don't be afraid to just check in with yourself. It's important to do that. Another thing at this point is really thinking about the people around you, switching up the kinds of experiences you have with people that you care about. Maybe you can start inspiring others in small ways
yeah.
to level up with them as well. It's been really fun as a family to go, like when we're on vacation with family, instead of, you know, just sitting around and drinking coffee, making coffee a destination.
I like how you made it about coffee, not alcohol. And
no, but really, like, okay,
no, it's very true.
Used to, you know, focus on, you know, it's 5 o'clock somewhere, even if it's 8 a.m. on vacation,
right?
But now it's, hey, let's go take a walk to this local coffee place. Let's do a sunrise stretch class, which has been super fun. Going to botanical gardens with friends, you know, doing activities. Based things, going on hikes when we go and visit our friends up north has been super fun.
For sure.
And just making activity part of the norm. Actually, the last time we went and visited our friends up north in the great, not white north, but like same color as this, but like the north.
Like, I don't know what is happening right now.
No, but like being active.
The purple north.
Anyway. North is north. It's fine. NorCal. There, I said NorCal. Are you happy now?
No, I'm very unhappy.
But we went to visit for the weekend, and we would go swimming. I went on a hike with our friend. We also rode bikes to a BBQ, which was super fun. And like, I was like, look at me being an active person doing stuff. inspiring others to be active is super fun.
Yeah, I think a part of what Catherine is saying, like, take your otherwise sedentary meetings with people and try and turn them into something active. Like, trick them and yourself into actually getting some activity in rather than sitting around eating and drinking.
It's really difficult for me now to go and sit in someone else's house.
Yeah, for sure.
Over the holidays, I was really super glad that our family had a dog, because I'd be like, it's time to walk the dog.
Yeah.
Because I can't sit here like watching TV.
Yeah, that dog's never been walked so much either.
But it feels really good to look for ways to be active. It's also more fun sitting around. So be active. So,
and while you're out walking the dog, you don't have to talk to your family, which is an added bonus.
No, we talked to our family when they were out walking with us.
Sure.
Anyway, we're visiting your family. I'm just saying, if we're pointing fingers at anything.
Yeah, I'm the one who brought it up.
So as we're closing this out, this, you know, episode 4, you're in the fourth grade of your Habit Elementary. This is where you're starting to embody your identity and the identity you're working on fostering. This is where we are seeing our goal weight as an end result of habits that we couldn't possibly go back to our old lifestyle. Sure, we're going to have interruptions, we're going to have pauses, but in the end, like, I don't want to go back to that inactive lifestyle. This isn't about I'm going to lose the weight, which will allow me to be fixed and perfect and then be able to eat whatever I want. What I want for myself now is to eat in a way that feels sustainable, to enjoy foods that I like in a responsible way, to move my body in ways that make me feel good for my future, and to have like not all those non-scale victories piling up over time that just make me feel good. How could I go back to a lifestyle where I ate all of my feelings, didn't have boundaries with people? I can't go back to that. I've learned too much, and it feels too good to stay, like, to go back to our old ways. Approaching maintenance is scary. Maybe it feels like, gosh, I've done this before. How, like, what if I gain again? We have the tools in place now to know what we need to do to keep up our healthy lifestyle. And being in a position now, we're, you know, 6 years into maintenance, we have had setbacks. We are getting older. Who knew that getting older would change things?
Yeah.
And our circumstances.
No one talks about that.
Like, our circumstances have changed from when we started this process. But what we do know is that we have things that we know make us feel better. We have the mindset that we are adaptable and changeable and ready to take on whatever comes next. And we know, again, that if we can do it, you can do it too. And in the next episode, we are going to take you closer to that maintenance lifestyle and seeing what that really is about. Because guess what? A spoiler alert, it's a lot of the same, man.
Wow, you really did spoil it. But thank you so much for listening, everybody. We really, really appreciate it. If you enjoyed what you heard here, you can find the most recent 300 episodes of this show on all of the major podcast platforms, wherever you found this one. And you can go all the way back to episode 1 if you venture to our website. You can download them, listen to them offline, but they're all on our website at weonlylookthin.com.
Yep, and if you have Jern ventured over to our website, you can click on that link for join our support group to find out more about Wolt Place. Wolt Place, We Only Look Thin Place, is our Facebook-based accountability group for women. Something I didn't realize I even needed in my weight loss journey venture was support and accountability with people who understand what I've been through, what I'm going through, and what my aspirations are. I thought that when people lost all the weight, they could just walk away and just be done with it and run free range, whatever. But it turns out staying present in my goals has to do with being with other people with common goals. Staying present in what I want matters. And I need Wolt Place just as much as I think our members benefit from it.
Yeah, and look, and if you have a spouse or partner, significant other, or you know, you've got your friends just aren't supportive or aren't in the same boat, or they don't seem to need to worry about their weight loss. Like, it really is great to go to a community like We Only Look Thin Place and find other people who are looking for the same support and accountability that you are.
Exactly. So we have weekly Zoom meetings. We've got daily accountability check-ins. We've got subgroups for additional focus. And it's just such a great place to be supported. We are not a weight loss plan. People are doing lots of different things, from intermittent fasting to tracking calories, Weight Watchers. That doesn't matter. It's not about the plan. It's about the support. So if you want to check us out, go to our website. We have two different subscription options: a monthly subscription with a 3-day complimentary trial and a 3-month subscription with a 7-day complimentary trial to see if Wolt Place is right for you.
So check it out. And yep, you can also find us on social media. We are on Instagram and Facebook at We Only Look Thin. Or you can email us to weonlylookthin@gmail.com. We really like getting episode suggestions. We've turned a lot of listener emails into episodes of the show. If you have questions for us, we will do our best to answer. If you want to give us some compliments, we love those sorts of emails. So once again, that is weonlylookthin@gmail.com.
Yep. And if you have a couple of extra minutes, please, please, please head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a rating and a review. If you have been thinking about it, but you're like, yeah, they get enough, it's fine, they don't need it, we would love to have your support.
Uh-huh.
It costs $3. $3 to head over.
$3.99
to give us that 5-star rating and leave us a little review to let us know that what we're doing is making a difference in your life. We really do appreciate every single one of those stars and the reviews that we have gotten. And it also helps boost our rating when the machines are like, hey, what should we do? It's like an algorithm.
When people are searching for health and fitness podcasts, the more ratings and reviews we have, the more likely we are to appear high in the
Thank
search results.
You yeah. For-
Or when machines are trying to do things, I guess, or something. Like, that also has plays a part.
Yeah, and speaking of machines,
another thing you could do to help us out, if you are on the dark web or the light web, if you're on in a group like a Reddit group, a Discord server, a Facebook group, and it seems appropriate to give us a shout out, that is really one of the best ways in which the show grows. Or if you're just talking to somebody and it comes up, if you think somebody might get something out of it, something out of our show, or if it comes up in conversation and you give us a recommendation, that really is one of the best ways in which the show grows.
It sure does. And we've actually gotten a couple of messages recently from the dark web, and I was very excited. The dark web, if you don't know, is Reddit and other things like that. I don't know
what it is. Catherine refers to as the dark web.
No, but we got an email the other day. It was like, hello from the dark web. And I was like, Donald, we got a message from the dark web. It's happened. We've made it big. We've made it on all the various parts of the web. Hooray.
We certainly have. So if you could give us a shout out in some fashion, dark web, light web, whatever, we would really appreciate it. So if since the beginning of this episode, all you've been doing is thinking about whether or not you can purchase the life rights for the Hamburglar so you can finally tell his life story, just remember that Catherine and I are
an inspiration.
The information that you hear on this podcast is for informational purposes only. The hosts are not medical professionals. You should always consult with your doctor, nurse, or other certified health professional before beginning any diet or fitness program.